AccuQuote.com, FindMyInsurance.com, or InsWeb.com. To determine how much life insurance you need, if any, see the appendix we've artfully titled, How Much Life Insurance Do You Need? If you already have a whole life policy, don't feel bad and don't necessarily drop it. With hindsight, you might have done better buying term insurance and, say, putting the difference into a Roth IRA. But you are building a valuable tax-advantaged nest egg nonetheless. What's more, you've already paid the upfront charges. Dropping the policy won't get them back. For an expert $100 evaluation of an investment-type policy you currently own or are considering, visit evaluatelifeinsurance.org, a website of the Consumer Federation of America. Insurance agents hate the phrase, buy term and invest the difference. They counter it by arguing people won't invest the difference. They'll squander it. And that is definitely a risk. But who's to say, if you're a squanderer, you're not also one of the great number of policyholders, something like 25%, who will let their expensive whole life policies lapse within the first few years. That's really squandering it. Beware variable universal life. I'm sorry to make you keep listening about this boring stuff, but there's a whole army of personable, well-intentioned salespeople lurking out there, and you need to be forewarned. Look, over there, behind that tree. If you do want an investment-type whole life policy for some reason, fine. Check out TIAA-CREF.org, USAA.com, Ameritas.com, and NorthwesternMutual.com. But beware variable universal life. Every life insurance salesperson seems to have learned the same script. You'll know it's the script the moment you hear the phrase Swiss Army knife. Supposedly, you can put as much or as little as you want into one of these plans, pay with pre-tax dollars, invest in lots of different tax-free ways, and withdraw the accumulated cash value tax-free whenever you want. Unfortunately, the much-touted tax advantages are usually exaggerated, and they are dwarfed, in most cases, by the various charges and hidden expenses. Consider. There will be roughly 6% in sales fees and state premium taxes on each dollar you invest. With the best policies, it's as low as 3%. But these are not the ones being promoted by commissioned salespeople. And why lose even 3%? There will usually be a contract charge averaging $400 to establish the policy and periodic administration charges averaging $100 a year. There will be overblown insurance charges on the money invested in stock and bond funds comparable to those of variable annuities, decried in a later chapter. There will be the management expenses, usually around 1% a year, five times what an index fund might charge. The cost of the life insurance you're buying, as separate from the investment component, is typically too high. The implication that you can raise or lower the amount of life insurance coverage at will is misleading. To raise it, you may need to prove that you are still insurable. To lower it, you bump into the IRS's corridor rule, which requires coverage until you're 95, whether you need it or not. The implication that you can withdraw funds tax-free is also often overblown. You can't withdraw tax-free any more than you actually contributed in premiums. Above that, the only way to get at the money tax-free is to borrow it, paying non-deductible interest. Yet the IRS requires that you keep the policy in force. If your much-touted tax-free withdrawals and loans deplete the account too much to keep up with the premiums, the policy will collapse. All previous loans will become withdrawals, and you'll owe ordinary income tax on anything you took out above your contributions. When the growth in your investments is withdrawn, it's taxed at ordinary income rates, even if that growth resulted from long-term capital gains. Congratulations! You've just paid the insurance company all these fees to convert what would have been lightly taxed long-term gains into heavily taxed ordinary income. Buy term life insurance and invest the difference. Skip insurance you don't need, including life insurance for children. A good buy only if your child is a movie star and you depend on his or her earning power. Credit life insurance, offered as an option when you take out a loan. A good buy only for the elderly or terminally ill. Flight insurance, a good buy never. Only about a nickel of each dollar it costs goes to pay claims. The rest is marketing expense and profit. Cancer insurance. It makes no sense to buy health insurance one disease at a time. Car rental insurance. If your credit card or your own auto insurance policy covers you, as many do. Skip, particularly, appliance insurance. Extended warranties on your refrigerator or washer-dryer. Even if you remember you have this insurance years from now, when the appliance breaks, and even if the time you have to spend collecting on it is minimal, two big ifs. Why pay someone to insure a risk you can afford yourself? Over the years, you will come out way ahead by resisting the salesperson's attempts to sign you up. Phone free. You don't use Skype.com? Seriously? It's free when calling other Skypers. Nearly free calling traditional landlines and cell phones all over the world. Cut your cell phone bill. If you need a cell mainly for emergencies, short chats, and texting, buy a track phone, trackphone.com. There are no contracts, and, since this is prepaid cellular, no danger of your tween texting you out of house and home. If you're a heavier user, Walmart's straighttalk.com may save you money. As I write, $45 a month for unlimited service. Drop your landline. Check out MagicJack.com, Uma.com, and Vonage.com. But if your internet goes out, so does your phone. So perhaps keep a single landline with the cheapest, absolute most basic service for emergencies. Go Prime. Where would I be without Amazon.com? I buy so much stuff there, the $99 a year Amazon Prime free shipping pays for itself over and over. Not to mention the time and expense previously required to actually physically shop. Nor to mention the million songs and thousands of books, movies, and TV shows you get free access to, or the unlimited photo storage. Use the internet. Well, duh. In the first edition of this book, I suggested everyone get a copy of the Sears catalog, not necessarily to shop from, but as a handy reference point for what everything cost. Ah, brave new world. That iconic catalog is long gone. And now, to buy or sell anything, new or used, there's eBay.com and Craigslist.com and the aforementioned Amazon. AngiesList.com's million members review service companies, contractors, and doctors, rejecting anonymous reviews for more reliability. PriceGrabber.com can help with comparison shopping. RetailMeNot.com will tell you whether there are promotional coupons to use at checkout. Great cheap clothes? Uniqlo.com. For most financial products, like insurance or a mortgage refinancing, Quicken.com is worth a visit. Don't miss Fairmark.com to help you with tax questions, HSH.com, Bankrate.com, and BANX.com, for locating good home and auto loan rates. Moving.com for quotes on moving expenses and help selecting local realtors. Move.com for tips on home maintenance, repairs, and improvements, and ways of reducing costs other than the mortgage. Nolo.com before spending money on a lawyer. Money-saving blogs include Wisebread.com, DealSeekingMom.com, and frugaltraveler.blogs.nytimes.com. Every week, carnivalofpersonalfinance.com showcases its favorite blog posts from around the web. Use the government. It invented the internet. Use USA.gov to find almost anything, from contact info for your local state representative, to food safety tips, to help starting a business, to help finding a new job, to passport issues, to buying stuff at government auctions. Take a minute or two now just to see the huge range of resources it makes available. If you use a discount broker, use a deep discount broker instead. You'll save even more. Double-check your bank. I had an adjustable-rate mortgage on an apartment building. Okay, a very small apartment building in a very modest part of town. Okay, a slum. The point is, it started out in February 1992 as a $400,000 mortgage at 7.5% to be paid off, amortized, over 10 years. After 12 months, I got a notice lowering my rate to 7% and telling me to pay $4,670.51 instead of the $4,748.07 I had been paying. In entering this into my computer, I noticed they were asking for $17 to $22 a month more than they should. But on such a large loan, I figured I'd just chalk it up to not wanting to start a thing. After 12 more months, I got a notice that the interest rate would still be 7%, unchanged, yet telling me to pay a different monthly amount. Hello? I took a closer look and found that they showed my unpaid principal, the amount I still owed, as being about $7,000 higher than my computer thought it should be. Now this was getting serious. 17 bucks is one thing, 7,000 is another. But the point I want to make here is, without checking, who would have known? Who possibly has the kind of instincts that would tell him the unpaid principal on a loan like this should be $341,091.50 by April 1994, not $348,940.01? Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man? Forget it. The man counted toothpicks. Brought to the bank's attention, it developed that they had hit me up for $6,800 plus interest in force-placed insurance. The way that works, their computer looks for confirmation that your insurance has been renewed. If no one tells it yes, then it sends you a notice telling you that the bank, to protect its interest, has force-placed a policy on the property at your expense. And, incidentally, this is the most expensive insurance policy in the history of the world. So you call and tell them politely to get their greedy little hands off your property. You did renew the insurance, and you fax them the renewal to prove it. They politely assure you that they won't hit you up for the insurance after all. But in this case, they did anyway. When I complained, I got a nice letter from the bank adjusting my unpaid balance down by $7,098.85. Banks make mistakes. Years ago, along with my bank statement, I once got the checks of a Chinese laundry. "What do you want me to do?" I asked the bank. "Send them to the laundry," answered the bank. Especially with adjustable-rate mortgages, errors sometimes do creep in. Be sure to double-check your statement each time the payment is adjusted. MyAmortizationChart.com may help with that. Note, banks sometimes force-place insurance on car loans, too. Beware! For help with college tuition, visit FinAid.org. And as you contemplate loan options, heed the words of my friend Les Antman. Never, never, never take out a private loan to finance college costs. Federal loans offer far more flexible options for reducing required payments or even canceling loan balances in the event of hardship or 10 years of government service. If you have student loans, you may be able to save money and/or make your life easier by consolidating them. Loanconsolidation.ed.gov. If your payments are high and your income low, don't miss ibrinfo.org to learn about income-based repayment. If your credit is good and or prospects bright, use SoFi.com to refinance at what could be a much lower rate. To avoid student loans, check out Debt-Free You, How I Paid for an Outstanding College Education Without Loans, Scholarships, or Mooching Off My Parents, by Zach Bissonette. High concept. The expensive private colleges aren't worth going into debt for, and there are lots of ways to make money while still in school. Another way to avoid borrowing for college is not to go. You won't find me advocating that. But from a strict financial perspective note, first, that if you compare apples to apples, kids with comparable SAT scores who have or lack college degrees, the vaunted wage gap narrows somewhat. One study shows it at 22% a decade or so out from high school graduation, which must be balanced against the cost of college plus what they might have earned during those years. Second, it's the degree that counts most in boosting your future income. Don't go unless you really plan to finish. And consider a 2-year community college degree, which, by your demonstrating seriousness of purpose and the discipline to reach a goal, could be worth more in the job market than 3 years of study someplace without completing the degree. You can always then transfer to a 4-year school. Third, try to finish on time. Not to say you shouldn't go nuts partying, switching majors, and all the other things that could stretch 4 years to 6, but financially, that's a killer. If you do have to drop out for a while or transfer schools, there are, at this writing, 3 fully accredited colleges in the United States that accept virtually all transfer credits from previous schools. They also allow you to test out of nearly all the classes needed for many basic bachelor's degrees. Remaining classes can be taken online. In fact, you can earn degrees at these colleges for under $10,000 and complete your work in far less than 4 years if sufficiently motivated. They are Charter Oak State College, part of the Connecticut State College System, Thomas Edison State College, part of the New Jersey State College System, Excelsior University, a nonprofit college that began as part of the New York State College System before being split off. Don't confuse these 3 with for-profit colleges that advertise heavily and offer degrees that are not regionally accredited, writes Les Antman, nor with diploma mills. While they are incredibly flexible, all 3 require clear demonstration of competence before awarding credits and ultimately a degree. The difference from traditional colleges is that they award credits based solely on demonstrated mastery of the material without requiring class attendance. This is known as competency-based education. In a sense, earning a traditional college degree involves attending classes and passing 40 final exams. Competency-based education involves just passing the 40 final exams. Refer to homeschoolcollegeusa.com for more on becoming competent. All that said, if you think you want to and can afford it, some of the best schools will make sure you get the aid you need. Go to college. Life is not a business. Save energy. Simple insulation and even simple weather stripping may be the best investment you can make, returning as much as 35% or more tax-free in annual savings on heating and cooling. Why put $1,000 into the stock of some utility and earn $40 in annual taxable dividends if you can put the same money into insulation and save $350 tax-free on your utility bill? Check also the various credits that may be available to encourage such energy-saving investment. Your electric company will know about these and may offer a free energy audit to show you how to cut your bills most effectively. Want to earn a phenomenal return on $25 or $50? Go buy a 6-pack of LED light bulbs. I used to light my kitchen with 4 100-watt dimmable floods, 400 watts. Now 4 much longer-lasting 6-watt dimmable LEDs serve just as well, 24 watts. Saves 94% and the planet. The $4 60-watt equivalent LED I'm looking at as I type this comes with a manufacturer's claim of $113 in lifetime savings, almost surely an exaggeration. But if $4 saves you even $20 over a decade, what kind of stock or bond could possibly match that? Tax-free, no less. Reverse your airflow. Why do we need it to be 78 degrees in the winter when it's cold outside, and 70 degrees in the summer when it's hot? A willingness to reverse these two settings can save a heap of dough. Ceiling fans can be a good investment, in the summer, obviously, for their wind chill effect. But also, if you flip a switch in the winter to reverse their flow, forcing the hotter air that wants to rise back down toward your toes. Or flip the angle of the blades. Most ceiling fans make it easy to do one or the other. Buy a pool blanket, an enormous sheet of bubble wrap. Mine costs $125 and, left on when the pool is not in use, raises the water temperature by at least 10 degrees, extends the swimming season by several weeks, and even saves on the cost of water, less evaporation. Compare that to the $300 a week my neighbor spends on propane. Diamonds are ridiculous. Beautiful, yes, but diamonds are also a lot more expensive than they would be if De Beers hadn't organized the world diamond cartel so efficiently and hadn't persuaded starry-eyed young men that, to be men, they have to devote 2 months' pre-tax pay to the purchase of an engagement ring. I never thought I would actually write the words cubic zirconia, but visit diamondessence.com and be dazzled by the possibilities. You could do worse than to risk $139 on a 2-carat ring that could otherwise cost $20,000. And okay, yes, these are fake diamonds. But about the only way for a layperson to tell they are fake is to scratch them with real diamonds. And what kind of people go around at parties doing that? Especially since their real diamonds are locked away in a safe deposit box, and they're wearing fake ones too. Do you remember Mohs hardness scale? I do. It runs from 1 to 10, with talc being softest at 1, then gypsum, calcite, fluorite, something, feldspar, quartz, beryl, ruby, diamond. Ta-da! Ah, those endless, lonely childhood hours. Diamond is 10, but quartz at 7 is pretty darn hard, as you surely know. So if these $139 suckers are 9 and can scratch quartz, for crying out loud, can scratch beryl, can hold their own against rubies, well, surely such a ring, along with matching his and her $5,000 Roth IRAs, is the wiser way to demonstrate your love and commitment. On your 50th anniversary, she'll still have the ring, but she'll also have, just by accepting a 9 hardness stone instead of a 10, an extra $114,000 after tax in today's buying power to help make your golden years joyous. This assumes a return 5% above inflation, and from just one investment of $5,000 apiece in the matching his and her Roth IRAs. Contribute $5,000 apiece every year at that rate, and on your 50th anniversary, you will have, between the two of you, an extra $2.2 million. You take the trinkets, I'll take Manhattan. Stagger your tax deductions. A lot of people find that they have almost enough deductions to make itemizing worthwhile, but not quite. If you fit this category, or if you have barely enough deductions to itemize and thus save very little by doing so, consider bunching your deductions into every second year. Plan to itemize in 2017 and 2019, for example, but to take the standard deduction in 2016 and 2018. Don't make the year-end charitable gifts you normally would in 2016. Make them in January 2017. Likewise, local tax payments and any other potential deductions you may be able to push into 2017. Come December 2017, do make your charitable contributions, prepay local taxes, and so forth. In half the years, you'll have the same standard deduction you would have had anyway. But in the other half, you might find yourself with an extra $4,000 or $5,000 in deductions. That will save $1,000 or $2,000 on your tax bill every second year. Prepare your own taxes. If you've been paying $100 or more to do your taxes, do them yourself and save all that money. Easier than you think. Save on software. Two things worth paying for are a computer, if you can't get one free through freecycle.org, and a high-speed internet connection. But software? If you just bought your computer, head over to ninite.com and select the programs you want to install to get going. Don't miss Dropbox for backing up your work and syncing it with your other computers. And check out Evernote, a tool to store and retrieve everything that interests you. For an extraordinary list of free software and expert reviews, visit Gizmos Freeware at techsupportalert.com. Or go to osalt.com, search on the name of any popular commercial software, and it will list free alternatives. In prehistoric times, my face was on a fantastic set of floppy disks, you're too young to know what those were, called Managing Your Money. List price, $199 a copy. Today, you can keep all your finances organized at mint.com. Free. Get free tech support. Before you pay Microsoft, try techguy.org. Trim your own hair. And tuck in your shirt, advises Mom. Look at you. You can have your hair cut every 3 weeks at $25 a clip, $425 a year. Or you can get one of those $5 stainless steel razor blade tinkle haircutting doohickeys. They look like combs with razor blades safely out of reach, and save, over 5 years, $2,125 plus maybe 100 hours of getting to, sitting in, and returning from the barber's chair. Or have it cut professionally a few times a year and touch it up yourself the rest of the time. Walk. Save a dollar by not taking the bus, or 10 by not taking a cab. Crunch. If you love your gym membership, great. But if the real goal is to stay fit, not to meet people, then consider this. You can be a man or woman of steel if you do no more than push-ups and crunches, little half-sit-ups, on a towel on your floor. Everyone has a floor. And you can have a healthy heart if you take a vigorous walk or run every day or two. Canceling the gym membership doesn't mean you can never visit. But for some, paying the occasional day rate will cost less than the full fare. Listen. The two biggest obstacles to exercise are laziness and boredom. The biggest obstacle to reading books is finding time. The biggest problem with listening to books while exercising is the cost. Audible.com solves all these problems. For about $20 a month, you get your choice of two books. So they cost $10 each instead of $30. I have walked across America with Lewis and Clark listening to Undaunted Courage while I shopped for groceries, and built the Panama Canal listening to The Path Between the Seas while loping around my neighborhood. How long is Ayn Rand's ridiculous but fun Atlas Shrugged? I'll tell you exactly. For me, it was 347 miles. Use the library. Even cheaper than Audible or Amazon are the books and audiobooks you can borrow from the local library. Instead of a movie, popcorn, and Coke for the four of you, $80, how about a trip to the library where everyone has an hour to explore and meet up back at the checkout? Then hot fudge sundaes at home. We all know that if something is free, it's perceived to have little value. And few people love movies more than I do. But how often have you heard people say of a movie, it wasn't as good as the book? So read the book. If this ruse worked with your kids once a month, you'd be saving $900 a year, not to mention the educational possibilities. Seriously, don't mention them. Get TiVo or one of the cheaper cable company provided alternatives. It's a life changer. Just by fast-forwarding through the commercials and an occasional segment that doesn't interest me, I watch the evening news in 20 minutes instead of 30. That alone saves 60 hours a year. 60 hours! Time is money. There are a million other reasons to love TiVo. 60 minutes and 45, Seinfeld reruns and 23, the ability to watch on your schedule, not theirs. But on the evening news alone, if my time is worth $3 an hour, that's $180 a year. Of course, if you're really struggling to get out of credit card debt, no unnecessary expense is worth making until you've met your goal, even TiVo. Get Netflix. For $9 a month, you can watch all the movies and TV shows you want. If it saved you one $80 movie night a month, you'd net an $852 annual savings. At the movies, for the nights you do go, share your popcorn. One medium costs pennies more than two smalls. And, depending on whom you're with, and your morbid fear of backwash, consider $4.75 for one large soda and two straws instead of $9 for two mediums. Cancel cable. Not me, I'm old. But kids these days? They don't even have TVs. That's the problem with kids these days. They don't watch enough television. They stream everything. And if you do too, that can save you $1,000 a year. Visit cancelcable.com. For family vacations, give each child a predetermined sum that has to last the whole trip. You'd still pay all the basics, travel, meals, tickets to the water park. This allowance would be for the completely optional extras. Your kids will learn to make the money last over the specified number of days and to weigh each purchase more carefully. Good life lessons. Meanwhile, you may be spared the begging for trinkets and candy, because that's now all at their discretion. If, under this system, your kids turn suddenly frugal and actually end up with some leftover cash, good for them. It's theirs to keep. Indeed, as a life lesson in delayed gratification, you might even offer up front to double whatever they have left over at the end. Avoid lottery tickets. They pay barely 50 cents in prizes for every dollar sucked in. And since all the big prizes are heavily taxed, the odds are even worse. Heads, you win 30 cents. Tails, you lose $1. Bargain down your credit card fees. If yours charges an annual fee, call to see whether they'll match those that don't. It's cheaper for them to say yes than to replace you. Quit smoking. At a pack a day, there's $2,000 to $4,000 a year right there. Tell your teenager you don't care about her health or soon to yellow teeth. You care about her money. The decision to develop a saving rather than a smoking habit makes a huge difference. One way, she puts $2,000 a year into Newports and, at age 65, has cancer. The other way, she puts it into a mutual fund that compounds at 7.5% a year and, at 65, has $1 million. And guess what? Alan Carr's easy way to stop smoking really has helped millions of people quit without cost or pain. Buy the store brand. Private label merchandise is often made on the same production line with the same ingredients as the more expensive advertised brands. Aspirin is aspirin, no matter how elaborate the commercials get. Bleach is bleach. It is a sad fact of American consumer patterns that poor people in particular avoid private label brands, despite the potential savings. So persuasive is national advertising. For example, private label shaving cream is occasionally on sale at $1.29. Believe me, it works just as well as the name brands on the next shelf that sell for $2.79. Granted, not all private label merchandise is as good as its name brand competition. None of it, presumably, is better. You will never find me eating any ketchup other than Heinz. But is it really worth 80% more to you to sneeze into a genuine Kleenex brand Kleenex? No matter what you buy, pay attention as your order is rung up. Make sure you weren't charged for more than you received. But wait, Lisa B. of Atlanta suggests the 48-hour rule. She writes, "My husband and I have lived the principles in your book as long as we've been married. We've never lived cheap, just smart. No unnecessary debt. Live below the paycheck. Don't pay interest, receive interest. The 48-hour rule before purchases means if we find something we like a sweater or a pair of boots, we wait 48 hours before we buy it. If we still want it, go get it. Most of the time, I don't even remember what it was that I considered buying." Eat cheaper. Register one of your credit cards with rewardsnetwork.com and get some extra miles or hotel points or cash back each time you dine. Just remember that it's still a lot cheaper to have Pepsi and pasta at home. Eat less meat. Beef? Consider pork. Pork? Consider chicken. Chicken? Try the rigatoni. The further down the food chain you go, the less it costs, and, often, the better it is for you and the planet. Eat less. The average male American waistline has grown nearly 5 inches, from 35 to 39.7 since 1960. The average female waistline, 7 inches. The standard 9-inch dinner plate is now often 11 or 12 inches, with, "Finally, a reason to multiply pi by r squared. I've waited all my life for this." 78% more area for potatoes. Forget the fact that diabetes is no fun. Think of the cash you'd save on food and on diet programs if you served smaller portions and just ate less. Waste less. Americans waste 30% to 40% of the food we grow each year, and the water we use to grow it, scraping it off the plate, discarding it for a blemish, or chucking it once it's past an often meaningless Best Buy date. Those dates are not expiration dates, as the frozen creamed spinach dated October 27, 2007, that I consumed with no ill effects in late 2015 attests. It had gotten sort of buried at the bottom of my freezer. But keep the freezer full. The more nearly full you keep your refrigerator and freezer, the less energy they burn. Just be sure to leave room for air to circulate. Rather than toss them, I fill empty plastic containers with water and stick them in the freezer. Nice big blocks of ice for the cooler. Why buy ice for parties? Skip Starbucks. Brewing coffee at home and taking it with you in a travel mug saves big. When you're out of debt and rich, go to Starbucks twice a day. Try an Andy Burger. Once, anyway. An Andy Burger is a fully loaded cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato, and pickle on a grilled bun. Hold the meat, but slather on the ketchup. It contains no burger. It has the burger smell and taste from being toasted on the grill, and all the taste of the ketchup, which is, let's be honest, the whole point of the burger in the first place. Every bit as good as the traditional burger, but less expensive, lighter on the land, healthier, and much easier on the cow. No? Well, it works for me. Do the math. Whenever you spend money on an incidental, do the math. It's not a $5 Starbucks, it's a $2,000 Mocha Grande, which is to say 5 times a week equals $25 times 52 weeks equals $1,300, which is all you have left after withholding from a $2,000 paycheck. It's not a $125 massage, it's a $9,000 massage, because you get one almost every week equals $6,000, which is what you have left after earning $9,000. This is not to say you shouldn't have the Mocha Grande or the massage. It's just to give you the big picture, which might make you want to bring a thermos of coffee to work or take a really nice hot bath when you get home instead. Want to go for $4 beers instead of $10 vodka tonics. Investing $5,000 a year that might otherwise have gone for bottled water, buy one bottle, refill thereafter from the tap, books, use the library, and phone charges, Skype, and earning 6% after inflation, which isn't easy but should be possible, will grow, if you're 25 now, to $794,000 in today's buying power by age 65, which could then provide you with an extra $57,000 a year through age 95. Not to mention that frugal people tend not to need to borrow at high rates against their credit cards, often saving 8% or 18% or even 29% on everything they charge. That could easily be another $2,000 a year on interest alone, which with the same assumptions bumps the retirement nest egg past $1 million and your annual payout, age 65 to 95, past $80,000. One of the joys of being rich, or even just rich-ish, is that you don't have to think about relatively small things like this. Think twice about buying a yacht, yes, but a latte? A massage? Yet unless you've inherited your wealth, which brings with it its own set of demons, or married it, potential ditto, you first have to get rich. And doing that means living beneath your means for a decade or three and investing the difference. Split your pills. Ask your doctor to prescribe the much less expensive generic drug when he or she thinks it's appropriate. And then, whatever the brand, ask about pill splitting. 30 80 milligram Lipitor tablets cost the same $135.99 when I last checked drugstore.com as 30 of the 40 milligram pills. Buy the higher dosage, cut it in half if your doctor has prescribed 40 milligrams a day, and you've just cut a $1,632 annual Lipitor bill in half, saving $816 a year. More power to Bob Dole, but if you're 10 or 20 years his junior, you might find that cutting each Viagra tablet four ways is all the pep you need. Do not attempt this with time-release capsules or anything else you haven't gotten your doctor's okay to subdivide. Get them free. Your doctor may have samples, and you can even get free antibiotics at some pharmacies, including those at Giant, Stop and Shop, Publix, Meijer, and Wegmans. Free prenatal vitamins at Meijer and Schnucks. Or at least get them cheap. Load the free OneRx.com app onto your phone to find the cheapest price or copay for your medication, and sometimes on-screen discount coupons. Try also GoodRx.com. Read, and possibly dispute, your medical bills. I know, but they could contain costly mistakes. If you need help, the Patient Advocate Foundation, patientadvocate.org, can review your medical bills for free and possibly help you bargain them down or resolve disputes. Shop for your MRI or new knee. Visit newchoicehealth.com to possibly save big, or a country like Malaysia or Costa Rica to possibly save even bigger, and soon perhaps Cuba. Check out medretreat.com to learn about medical tourism. Ask for a discount. There's no shame in asking whether someone can do any better. AARP reports that only 15% of hearing aid shoppers ask for a deal. Yet, because the markups are so high, most of those who do get one. Ice water has at least as much nutritional value as Diet Coke, and it's free. Drinking lots of water is supposed to be good for you. Sipping it continuously keeps you feeling cool, even with the thermostat set a few degrees higher. That's a $300 annual saving on the Coke, a $300 saving on the AC. Fill some cool-looking resealable bottles with water and store them in the fridge, suggest Camp Wigwam owners Bob and Jane Strauss. The kids will grab these instead of a soda. Much cheaper, much healthier. Tap water. Listen, unless you live in a typhoid swamp, I don't ever again want to catch you buying bottled water. What an easy way to save money and avoid dumping plastic into the ocean, which is where a lot of it ultimately floats. It's a crazy waste of oil used to make the plastic and to truck those bottles to the store. Just get a single plastic container and keep refilling it from the tap. If need be, get a Brita water pitcher, Brita.com, or some familiar filtration solution. I am deeply ashamed to have bought hundreds of bottles of water for our water volleyball guests over the years. Now I just put out a pitcher of ice water and some of those big red plastic cups, which we reuse dozens of times. Why would you even think of throwing them out? It's not a 75-cent bottle of water twice a day. It's a $547 annual bottled water bill and 730 plastic bottles that you add to the 30-odd billion we Americans throw out each year. Scotch drinkers can tell one scotch from another. But show me the man who can tell what vodka was used to make his vodka tonic. If status symbols are important to you, buy one bottle of Grey Goose and a 59-cent plastic funnel. They should last a lifetime. Paper towels? Have you people not heard of a sponge? Google cotton rags and buy a few dozen for $20 or so. Or make your own next time you're about to discard a tattered old towel or terry cloth robe. Just cut them up instead. Forget wrapping paper. I use newspaper. Makes a nice gray background for a magic marker sentiment. Arnie and Sue, this is for you. Spares the environment. Saves money. For special occasions, I use the New Yorker covers I save throughout the year and tape them together for the same purpose. With each gift should come a poem, preferably in the form of a riddle. Come rain or come shine, you're my kind of fella, so I went out and got you this brand new, How hard is that? Forget the newspaper. I know I just suggested you wrap things with it, but what if you skipped the physical newspaper and read it online instead? You save money, spare trees, and don't have to remember to suspend delivery when you're on vacation. Indeed, you don't even have to wait until morning to read it. You can read it the night before. It's always yours whenever you have access to the internet. I love the New York Times and want to see it thrive, so I occasionally buy the Sunday paper, one of the luxuries a lifetime of serving guests cheap vodka allows, but willingly pay the $35 a month to have it ever-present online. That's still a lot cheaper than the $600 a year I was paying before. Improve your credit rating. Most people think theirs is higher than it actually is. I did, and are surprised at some of the reasons their score is lower than they expected. To find yours, visit annualcreditreport.com. Lots of important information on your account from each of the three rating agencies, all free except for the score, which requires you then to enter a credit card, if you want to, and pay $7.95, or creditreport.com, which provides the score free, well, $1, but only if you remember to cancel the $14.95 a month membership within the trial period. Your score can matter. The average rate charged on a 30-year fixed-rate home mortgage, when I tried this, was 4.49% for someone with a FICO score of at least 760 versus 4.89% for someone just a couple of notches down at 690. An extra $17,000 in interest on a $200,000 mortgage over the life of the loan. drop the score to 630, and, if you can even qualify for a loan, the rate rises to 6.08%, and you'll be paying not $17,000, but $71,000 more. The fastest way to boost your credit score is by demonstrating responsible use of credit cards, not debit cards or charge cards. Basically, Visa, MasterCard, or Discover, and those American Express cards that don't require full payment each month. The trick to building your credit score is to use them actively, but A, don't get anywhere close to your credit limit. Anything above 30% or so can make the FICO algorithm nervous. And B, pay them off in full each month. The algorithm loves that. After 6 or 8 months like this, maybe apply for a second card based on that history, and then use each of them regularly. But again, sparingly, rarely using more than 20% of your limit. Pretty soon, people will be beating down your door to lend you money. Resist their entreaties. If your credit score is so bad you can't get a credit card, visit BeverlyHarzog.com to find a good secured credit card, because some are awful, where you put up $1,000 in cash, say, to secure a card with a $1,000 limit. It's still considered a credit card, and your responsible use of it will be reported to the credit rating agencies. Until you do fix your credit, rent. We've already talked about SEPA call. Consider buying services by the case, too. I got my flood insurance renewal notice recently, and a choice. 1 year at $429, or 3 years for $1,147. Which would you choose? It's the kind of choice we face frequently, perhaps most often with magazine subscriptions. Here's how you might go about making a rational decision. In the previous example, you're investing an extra $718 up front to save $140, paying $1,147 instead of $429 three times, $1,287. But what kind of return is that? The trick is to figure out how long you're tying up the money. Your first inclination may be to say 3 years, but that's wrong. If you had paid annually instead of all at once, the second $429 would have been due just a year from now. So that portion of the $718, fully 60% of it, is only being tied up 1 year. And the rest, $289, is only being tied up 2 years. If 60% of your $718 is being tied up for 1 year and 40% for 2 years, then the whole thing, taking a weighted average, is being tied up for 1.4 years. How'd I get that? I multiplied 1 year by 60% and got 0.6 years, then multiplied 2 years by 40% and got 0.8 years, then added 0.6 and 0.8 years together to get 1.4 years. What kind of return is it to earn $140 on $718 in 1.4 years? If you're not into computers or higher math, just divide the $140 return by the $718 investment and you get a 19.5% gain. Divide that by 1.4 years and you get a wrong but close answer of 13.9% gain per year. The precise answer, easily obtained with a pocket calculator or computer program that includes present value functions with irregular time periods, is about 13%. And it's tax-free. And there's the saving if, by locking in today's price, you avoid price increases in years 2 and 3. So the after-tax return may wind up being even better. On the other hand, you should consider whether there might be some cancellation fee if you decide to terminate your insurance or magazine subscription in midterm, and whether the insurer or magazine publisher or health club or exterminating service might go broke before the end of the 3 years, leaving you uninsured or with nothing to read, no place to work out, or rats. Live light on the land. If your shirts come back from the dry cleaner folded in plastic bags, use them in place of sandwich bags for storing leftovers. It saves a little money, saves a little planet. Plastic bags are made from oil. When you need to boil water, don't boil more than you need, and use a lid. You'll save water, time, and fuel. Skip the dishwasher. I have a patented non-stack method for which I hereby waive the royalties. Just rinse the tops of plates and bowls as you clear the table without stacking them, which needlessly soils their undersides. Then put them in one of those cheap vertical drying racks. You're done. Seriously. Want a hobby? Fire up your Google and research residential heat pump water heaters. Makes sense for you? Take a couple of minutes to explore low-flow shower heads. Kramer. Low-flow? Well, I don't like the sound of that. Like the $8.14 Niagara Earth Massage that could cut your hot water shower use by 75%. Pipes at risk of freezing in the winter? Search AutoCirc Pump to solve that problem and save on hot water. Research residential solar panels. I have a little 3.6 kilowatt power plant on my roof. Even when it's cloudy, the electric meter generally runs backwards as I'm generating more power than I use. Without federal, state, and utility company incentives, solar is still at best a marginal investment. But the incentives are there for a reason, known as externalities. And with them, in some parts of the country, the return is outstanding. The list goes on. You'll get lots of good ideas at eere.energy.gov/consumer/tips. The website is friendlier than the URL. One of my website readers cut her family's peak quarterly electric bill from $447 to $243 just by switching to more efficient light bulbs, installing power strips to make it easy to switch off TVs that draw power when not in use, buying an efficient front-loading washing machine that also saves on drying, because the clothes are nearly dry when the water finishes, and installing an on-demand water heater. We're saving 45% with some simple changes and no sacrifice, she reports. It becomes a game. Could I afford to keep my aforementioned 400 watts burning to light my kitchen? I could. But, quite apart from the investment return, cutting that consumption by 94% to just 24 watts makes me smile every time I switch on the lights. If all this penny-pinching sounds niggling, don't miss the larger point. The suggestions in this chapter can very likely save you $1,000 a year, and possibly much more, with very little effort. And that's important, because the typical American doesn't save enough. When this book was first published in 1978, personal saving as a percentage of disposable income in the United States was 10%. By 2005, it was down to 2%. Hard times reminded people to prepare for rainy days, so it spiked some in the Great Recession. But in the summer of 2015, it was back under 5%. Most people need to do better for themselves, and can. 3. You can get by on $165,000 a year. A penny saved is impossible. Ogden Nash. Many of us spend a great deal of time worrying about our money. Few of us use that time to make a sensible plan. Where am I? Where do I want to be? How do I get there? If you already have a budget, or are too rich or frugal to need one, skip ahead. But if, like many successful people, you have trouble making ends meet, let alone overlap, listen up. This is important, because it's not just a budget you'll end up with. It's an overall plan. First, get a pencil and a yellow legal pad, or the planning tool on Mint.com. Next, tell your secretary to hold your calls. If you are a secretary, get a smaller legal pad. If you neither are nor have a secretary, if you've got a man's job, like operating a crane, do this at home, in your favorite chair, late at night, when no one can see you. Real men make bets, not budgets. If you have a significant other, sit him or her down too and work on this together. 1. Tally your net worth. Add up everything you own, subtract everything you owe, and that's your net worth. In other words, before you even start to make the budget, take a few minutes to see where you stand. Down on the left side of the first sheet of your yellow legal pad, list all your assets and their approximate value, the house, the car, the savings account. Down the right, list all your debts, the mortgage and car loan and credit card balances. Which list totals more? If you own more than you owe, you have a positive net worth. You're already 3 steps ahead of the game. If you have a negative net worth, you owe more than you own, you can see why your mother is worried about you. What's that? You think just because she's deceased, she's not worried? Subtract what you owe from what you own and write the total at the bottom of the page. 2. Set goals. Where would you like to be a year from now? Out of debt might be an appropriate goal. And 2 years from now? Out of debt with $5,000 in an IRA and $2,000 in the bank and a sound system that will wake up the dead. And 5 years from now? A net worth of $60,000 headed for $1 million. It is to reach these goals that you make your budget. Write them down on the second page of your yellow legal pad. Don't make them too aggressive. Try to set goals that, after going back and forth with your budget for a while, you secretly think you'll be able to exceed. If you aim too high, you'll never feel you're doing well enough. You can still have unwritten goals and hopes and dreams, by all means. But think of them, and not too often, if you can help it, as icing on the cake. Sure, you want a BMW. Everybody seems to want one. Not me. I want to be invisible and to fly. But it's really nuts to want one so much you're unhappy you don't have one. 3. Figure your annual earnings. At the top of the third yellow page, list all your sources of annual income. Your take-home pay, multiply your paycheck by the 12, 24, 26, or 52 times a year you receive it, payments from Grandpa's trust, the $20 a week you pick up reffing Little League, dividends, and so on. Note that for most folks, it's not a long list. Take-home pay, $28,400. End of list. Note also, precision is not the goal. Ballpark estimates are fine. When in doubt, estimate low. That way, any surprises are likely to be pleasant ones. 4. Take a first pass at your expenses. This is like naming all the states. If you picture the map and start with Maine, gradually working your way south and west, you will come up with 43 states. Then you'll remember Kansas. If you're from Kansas, you'll remember Delaware, and a few others to get to 48. The last two are murder, though you know them perfectly well. Nebraska, of course. Alabama. And you may even have to sneak a look at the map to find them. So it goes with budget categories. You'll quickly come up with headings to cover most of your expenditures, although with budget categories, unlike states, there are no preset boundaries. You might have one broad category for entertainment, or several narrower categories all summing to it. Restaurants, movies and music, books and magazines, theatrical and sporting events, whatever makes sense for you. Nor is there a specific number of budget items the way there's a specific number of states. So you won't know with quite the same certainty whether you've missed any. You'll think you've thought of everything, just as, until you count up your list of states, you think you've hit them all. But chances are, you have not. Gasoline, of course. Lawn care. If you get stuck, sneak a look at the map. Last year's checkbook and credit card statements. Under what headings would last year's expenditures have fallen? Miscellaneous, of course. Next to each category, estimate what you currently spend. If you haven't any idea what you currently spend, well, all the more reason to be going through this exercise. Two nights out a week at $100 apiece? Not hard to do, between dinner, a movie, and ice cream on the way home. That's $10,400 a year. Some categories, like this one, are best thought of in weekly terms and multiplied by 52. Your rent or mortgage payments and electric bill are naturally thought of in monthly amounts and multiplied by 12. Your semi-annual trips to the dentist are multiplied by 2, but don't include them at all if you're reimbursed for dental care by insurance. Reimbursable expenditures don't affect your financial plan, so ignore them. Ignore, too, items that are automatically taken out of your pay, because it was only your net take-home pay that you listed as income. Or, if you prefer, list your gross pay as income and list each of the deductions, taxes, health insurance, and so on, as an expense item. Either approach is fine. Don't include credit cards as a budget category. Only the annual credit card fee itself, and, more important, credit card interest, ought to be budget items. The rest, the clothing and dinners and such that you charge to the cards, should go into categories like clothing and dinners. On your first pass, jot down both the annual expenditure and the way you figured it. $100 two times a week equals $10,400. Make no effort to economize. When in doubt, estimate high. Round up. Your auto insurance runs $950. Call it $1,000. Leave for the end of your list those expenditures that aren't really expenditures at all. Investments. The $5,000 you voluntarily contribute to an IRA is not like the $5,000 you blow on a hot tub. It's cash that merely moves from your front pocket to your back pocket. Similarly, spending $20,000 on an Oriental rug, if it's really worth $20,000, as the ones that fly clearly are, isn't spending money at all. It's merely shifting funds from one investment, like a savings account, to another, like a rug. If the rug would fetch only $10,000, were you immediately to resell it, and that may be optimistic, then you have in effect invested $10,000 in a rug and spent $10,000 on your living room. If you buy a new car every 4 years for cash, don't budget zero for the first three and then $26,000 for the fourth. Budget $6,500 a year, plus maintenance, plus insurance. If you own your home, include an allowance for maintenance and repairs, even though you can't be sure what might need fixing or when. If you budget $2,500 a year, planning to repaint, but the roof starts to leak, well, this year you might patch the roof and, if funds are scarce, hold off repainting until next year. 5. Take a second pass at your expenses. What have you forgotten? Furniture? Appliances? Gifts? Inevitably,